Behold the parable of the pandemic. There was news that went out across all the world of a new virus that was infecting people throughout the world, a respiratory infection. There was one man who grew very concerned about the virus, and so he made an appointment to see his doctor, a doctor whom he had known all of his life. The doctor knew about this man's family history. He knew about this man's family, about this man's politics, about this man's religion. And so he goes to visit this doctor. And as he goes into the doctor's office, he says, "Hey, great physician, I'm concerned about this virus that I've heard about on the news that is sweeping across the world. But I don't trust the news media. I trust you. And so I've come to you to see, what do I need to do? How can I protect myself? What do I need to do?" And so the doctor says, "Well, I'm not the great physician. I might be good, but there's only one great physician." And he says, "Here's what you need to do. To protect yourself, you need to make sure that you wash your hands. And don't just wash your hands for 5 seconds. You need to wash your hands for 30 seconds, not just with water, but you need to use soap as well. So make sure you wash your hands for 30 seconds using soap. You also need to make sure that whenever you are going out and about, that you wear gloves if you can. You need to make sure that you don't touch your face, because a lot of times that's how you'll get that virus, is if you touch your face. You want to make sure that you're not shaking hands with sick people. It'd be a good idea to keep some sanitizer on hand so that if you do come in contact with something or someone, you can use that to sanitize your hands and kill any viruses. It would also be a good idea if you had Lysol. And so you could spray that Lysol in your car or at your workspace or in your home and make sure that you have that Lysol to sanitize the air. He says, you also want to be mindful that there's going to be other things that you need to do to consider to protect yourself. Things might get a little crazy. Make sure you have ammo at your house just in case, right? Make sure you're prepared that way. And also make sure that maybe you pull a couple $1,000s out of your bank account or have a little gold on hand just in case that's necessary. And so do all these things to protect yourself. And the patient says, "Well, doctor, you know what? I've done all of those things." And he was so happy. And the physician says, "Well, there's one thing you still lack." And the man sort of steps back like, "What is that?" And the doctor says, "I know your life. One more thing you need to do to be prepared is to finally obey the gospel and repent of sin in your life. And go be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And walk in faithfulness to God. So that you're ready to meet God just in case. Because, patient, whether it be the virus or whether you get hit by a bus when you leave my office, you're going to meet the Lord one day." Now, unless you've kept your head buried in the sand for the past couple of weeks, you probably know that in the world there is a pandemic. And there is a scare of a new virus that has been discovered and is spreading. And you are also aware of the news media, some of which is good and informative, but also a lot of which is sensationalism. But I want you to take what you've seen in the news and tie that to the parable this morning and tie it to what Jesus Christ taught. Obviously, If you are aware of the gospel and you're aware of the ministry of Jesus Christ, you are aware that I borrowed some of Jesus' material in a parable, or in a teaching, excuse me. I borrowed some of Jesus' teaching there in relation to the parable that I just told. And that's found in a couple different places in the gospel, but we're just going to focus in the gospel of Matthew this morning. So if you would, open your Bibles to the gospel of Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, I want you to see here the parallels to what we were talking about in our parable to the teaching of Jesus with a man who is labeled in the scriptures as the rich young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 16, it says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him," that is, the rich young ruler said to Jesus, "'Which ones? Which commandments do I keep, Lord?' is what he's asking here. And Jesus said, 'You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" There's other commands, like thou shalt not covet. But these are sufficient to get Jesus' point across, right? Keep all the commands. There's not one that you leave out. Keep all the commands. And so Jesus is telling this man to keep the commands. In verse 20, the young man said, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieved, for he was one who owned much property. In another account here, it says that Jesus said, "There's one thing you still lack." And this man said, "What am I still lacking?" And Jesus said, "Go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And if you're better at math than Brian Williams, if you're aware of that story, if you're better at math than Brian Williams, then you know that's not one thing, that's three. Go, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. But what's Jesus' point? Really, those are three parts of the one thing, right? It's no good for him to come follow Jesus if he's not willing to sacrifice something here. And it's not going to do him any good to sacrifice something if he's not willing to follow Jesus. And so that's the point of Jesus saying there's something you still lack. There's one thing you still lack. Give all that up and come follow me. You think about the principle of what Jesus teaches here in this dialogue, this discussion that goes on between Jesus and the rich man, and make the connection to the parable of the pandemic that we provided this morning. And you think about the parallels there, about how we as a society, how we as a world are concerned about a virus, and with good reason. We know the danger, right? We know especially the danger to those who are older. We care about them and we love them. We know the danger to those who are younger. We love them. We care about them. And we know that even still, those in the middle range are still susceptible to become infected. But isn't it interesting how all the world is seeking to prepare for this virus, which has in all likelihood, less than a 2% chance of killing them. But you have goods flying off the shelves across the country, goods flying off the shelves across the world. There is likely to be some shortages of supplies in the coming weeks and months, the days ahead. There already are some. And everybody worried about and everybody concerned about something that they have to catch it first, and if they catch it, has less than 2% chance of killing them. But yet there is such a great fear that it is driving them to change their behavior, to protect themselves. And when I think about that, I think, does it escape their notice? Does it escape their notice that 100% of people are going to die one way or the other? And that 100% of people are going to stand before God in judgment? And is not that a much greater concern, or should that not be a much greater concern for everyone? And should that not drive our behavior more than any sensationalist news story out there? People are worried, saying, what do I do? What do I do? News, tell me, what do I do? Go into the doctor. Doctor, tell me, what should I do? And doctors are saying, well, wash your hands. Make sure you don't cough on people. Make sure you don't let people cough on you. Make sure that you have hand sanitizer. I'm looking at this list of things and I'm like, people, this is what you should be doing anyway. You should already be doing this to protect you against the common cold and protect you against the flu. There's a lot more likely chance you die of the flu than of this new virus. These are all things you should be doing anyway. We should all be doing these things anyway, right? None of this should be news to us. But isn't it amazing how that fear drives us? And there are so many people who know already what they need to do to be prepared for illness and haven't been doing it. How many people also know exactly what they should be doing to prepare their lives to meet the Lord on the day of judgment and aren't doing it? And they're waiting for something. They're waiting for the scare in their life. They're waiting until they get the coronavirus and then I'll make my life right with God, right? Or they're waiting until they get that terminal illness or they get cancer, then I'll make my life right with God, right? Well, it's escaping their notice that at any day, at any time, they could have to meet the Lord. Why are they not getting prepared for that which is most important? Look with me at another passage in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, it says in verse 25. Matthew 16, 25. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Talking about those who are willing to sacrifice themselves personally to follow Jesus, asking what Jesus told of that rich young ruler, go sell all that you have and come follow me, right? Being willing to make the Lord first in their life and be willing to give up the physical to prioritize the spiritual and the relationship with God over their relationship with manna, the things of this world. And he says in verse 26, For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. Talking about the judgment of man. And we read about that and talked about that in detail last Sunday night. We were talking about the topic of the rapture, right? And the judgment of God and the judgment day and all that. We were talking about that Sunday night. And so we're aware of that. And here Jesus' point is, what good does it do for you to gain the whole world but to lose your own soul? What good does it do for you to have all the lights in the world and all the Purell in the world and all the hand soap in the world if you're not getting your soul pure and your soul clean and your soul washed from the stain of sin and death? What good does it do for you to remain physically healthy if you are spiritually dead? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying neglect the one for the other. I'm not saying just live a foolish, careless lifestyle and just walk into a hospital and start walking up to people and letting them cough all over you and stuff. I'm not saying any of that. It's good to be prepared. It's wise to be prepared. We're doing that in our household. My wife ordered some stuff the other day. I went by and picked up at Walmart just the other day, right? I mean, we're making some preparations. That's wise. That's good. But it's foolish if I'm only thinking about the physical and I'm only worried about the physical and I'm not caring about the spiritual and I'm not caring about my soul and making sure that my soul is right with God and my soul is prepared to meet God. That's the most important. But think of it from another perspective. Don't be selfish. Don't just think of yourself. Think of your kids. How many parents the world over are concerned about their children and this virus? And they want to make sure that they have stock on hand, and they want to make sure that they're teaching their kids, hey, this is what you need to do to be protecting yourself when you go to school. Make sure you do this. When you're out and about, make sure you do this. Make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you use the Purell. Do all these things, right? And they want to guard their kids against that evil, and they're all worried about that virus that can come and can infect their children, but they don't care about their kids' spiritual well-being, and they're not guarding and protecting their children spiritually. They say, oh, I don't want to let the coronavirus in my house. We want to keep it out. We want to quarantine our house. But they let sin in their house all the time. They expose their children to all types of filthy, ungodly, sinful things through the music that they listen to, or the television shows that they watch, or the YouTube videos that they watch, or the movies that they watch, and they invite all types of sin into their house. But let's keep the coronavirus out, right? Are we walking by faith and not by sight and caring as much or caring more about the spiritual for our children than we do the physical and worried about the physical impact of catching a physical virus? We know the deception of sin. We know how sin does spread like a virus. We know how it infects people. We know how it infects relationships. We know how sin infects our lives and infects the lives of our children. Why don't we as a people of God make sure that we're not focusing just on the physical to the neglect of the spiritual, but more so focusing upon the spiritual, making sure that the next generation, that the young people are aware of what they need to be doing to protect their souls against sin and unrighteousness, doing what we can to build up their spiritual immunity, right? Doing not by throwing them out into the world and exposing them to the world, right? But bringing them to things like Bible class and to the youth devotionals and making sure that we're talking about the Word of God day in and day out when we wake up, when we're on the way in the evening before we go to bed. Make sure that we're praying together. Make sure that we're worshiping together. Make sure that we're building up their spiritual strength to be able to resist the devil, to resist the sin, the temptation that we know 100% guaranteed they will come in contact with in their lives. Are you worried about the coronavirus for your kids, for your grandkids? That's good and fine. But I hope more so you're concerned about sin. You can give your children all the physical health and immunity in the world. And what good does it do if their soul is not guarded and protected from sin? What have you truly given them if you haven't given them the eternal life found in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Which takes us to the last passage I want us to consider in the gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 10. And I use this verse just to try to redirect our minds to the proper way of thinking about fear. It's not wrong for us to have fear. Fear is a God, it's God-given. It's something that God has given us, and it's there to make us alert. It's there to make us aware. It is there to change our behavior in a good way if we have fear according to wisdom, right? And so fear is something that God has put within mankind that we can use for good or use for wrong, right? And so we want to make sure we're trained by the Word of God to use it for good. And that's what Jesus is addressing here, a little bit different topic than what we're talking about, but the same principle, and that Jesus was talking about the fear of persecution. Hey, you're going to go out and you're going to share my gospel, he's telling his disciples here. And hey, I don't want you to expect that when you share the gospel, it's going to be all roses, right? I mean, you're going to run into some persecution. You're going to run into some problems. If they persecuted me, Jesus says, guaranteed, they're going to persecute you too. And so be mindful of that. But his point is, do not fear them. Do not fear them to the point of it keeping you from doing what you know you need to do, which is go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's Jesus' point. To be faithful, right? And that's what I want you to see here in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 26, it says, "Therefore do not fear them," the persecutors there, "for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops." And so he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Verse 28, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Have the right perspective. Have the right perspective on fear. Fear God first. Fear God above others, above man, right? It's the not but here. It's not that you don't have any cause to fear man. You can have the cause to fear man, but that's not the overriding fear. The overriding fear is you're going to give an account to God. That's what we read in Matthew chapter 16, right? Jesus is coming again. Every man has to give a recompense according to his deeds. And so be mindful of that. Fear that. I'm not saying don't fear the coronavirus. Fearing the coronavirus can be good for your family's health because as you fear that, it'll also help guard your family against all the other cold viruses and against the flu virus and all these other things, right? It's fine to fear the coronavirus. That's fine. But fear God more. Fear God first. Make sure you fear and prioritize the spiritual above the physical. That's what you need to do. That's what Jesus is teaching here about perspective, right? About perspective and fearing God first. As I said before, not everybody's even going to catch the coronavirus. Even those who do happen to catch it, you got a 98% chance of recovering from it. But you have a 100% chance of facing God in judgment. Don't you want to be ready for that? Don't you want to be prepared for that? Isn't that important? Isn't that something that you should fear more? It is. And the same fear that would drive somebody to change their physical behavior is a fear that should drive us to change our spiritual behavior as well. That is, if you truly know God, and if you truly fear God, and you know that you're not ready to stand before Him in judgment, that fear should change your behavior. The love of God should change your behavior. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God doesn't want anybody to die. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord sent the gospel out into the world that he who believes and has been baptized, that's buried with Christ in water. We got a baptismal tank back here. You're buried with Christ in water, raised in the newness of life, having your sins washed away. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, as it says, but an appeal to God for a clean conscience, having obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ in faith, knowing that as you were buried with Christ in baptism, you are raised, cleansed from your sin. You're dead no more. You're alive now in Christ Jesus. He's the one who is your mediator. He is the one who is the propitiation for your sins. He is your leader. He is your guardian, your shepherd, your protector in Him. Be concerned about that. Let the gospel change your behavior. Let the fear of standing before God in judgment change your behavior for the right, for the good, for you, for your family. It's easy to get caught up in the things of the world and the news of the world to the distraction and to the neglect of that which is most important, which is the spiritual. And so that's the purpose of our lesson today. Take the lessons that we are learning about the physical, but use it to make the more important point about the spiritual. Am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God today? Have I obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as was commanded on the first time the gospel was preached, where people were speaking to the apostles and said, "What do we do?" And Peter and the apostles said, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority for the forgiveness of your sins." Have you done that? Have you done that? If you haven't, you're like the person who knows they're going to get sick, but they're just not doing anything about it. They're not getting the Purell. They're not washing their hands. They're not doing anything. It's just, you know, whatever happens, happens. And they might die. And if you don't obey the gospel, then spiritually, you will die. And you'll die for eternity. You'll die in eternal damnation. But God doesn't want that. And that's why He gave His only begotten Son, as we alluded to before in the gospel, so that you can have cleansing, so that you can have life in Him, life in Christ. That's the hope that He offers. That's the salvation that He offers. It's found in Christ and in Christ alone. There is no other way to stand before God pure and holy and righteous in judgment than by giving your life to Christ and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our appeal to all this morning. Think about your life. Cast aside the cares of the outside world and the coronavirus for just a minute and think about your soul. Are you ready to stand before God in judgment? If you're not, accept God's grace today. Obey God's gospel today. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today and confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be penitent of your sins. You make that turn, you make that change in your life. You be baptized, as Jesus said, for the forgiveness of your sins. Raised in the newness of life to be His follower, to be His disciple. You got to give up that old self to put on the new self. Just like Jesus said to that rich young ruler, you got to give up the old and you come follow Me. Jesus wants the same for all of us. He wants us to give up the life of sin to come follow Him. And that starts in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you have the opportunity by the grace of the Lord to do that this morning, this very hour, this very time. We offer the invitation at the end of our sermon for people who are in that state and want to obey the gospel. If you're here this morning and want to get your soul right with God and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins this morning, we have the water prepared. We're ready to take your confession. We're ready to baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins. All that it takes is for you to make it known to us, and you can do that by coming forward now as together we stand and as we sing.